So it's really hard to believe, but tomorrow is Lent. How did that happen? Feels like it was just Christmas. But yeah, Lent kicks off tomorrow with Ash Wednesday. And Lent, every year, is a time for us to seriously examine our hearts again and enter more deeply into that mystery of our salvation. It's a time to experience again the breathtaking mercy of our God, who at just the right time, when we were still helpless, died for the ungodly. In the face of a world that kind of blandly glosses over sin and all of its effects, the season of Lent declares with a terrible clarity that, yeah, actually, we're not all okay. That we need help. That we need saving. We need grace. And that's what I'd like to kind of preach on briefly this morning to you all. Grace. We must never lose sight of the importance of grace. Often enough, the first thing that comes to mind when we think about Lent is kind of this spiritual workout that we plan on putting ourselves through for the next 40 days. We come up with all sorts of incredible fasts, feats of penance that we intend to complete kind of on our own steam. And for all intents and purposes, Lent can therefore become like Catholic Olympics. You know, maybe you're watching the Winter Olympics at home. Lent isn't necessarily just Catholic Olympics. It's not just an extreme test of spiritual endurance. It's not just a display of religious stamina. We hear what people are giving up. It's like, whoa, you're going to go 40 days without Netflix? How are you going to do that? What are you going to do with all your free time? Or, geez, you're going to give up Facebook? How are you going to, you know, have friends? Like, God forbid you can socialize without the internet. These are good things, maybe, for us to give up. But if we're not really careful, and if we don't look to God's help, Lent can become more about flexing our spiritual muscles than about what Christ is accomplishing in us. It can become more about ourselves and what we're doing than about what God's doing. So we should be pushing ourselves and striving after holiness, right? In his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul goes so far as to say, I drive my body and train it for fear that after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. But what about grace? Where does that fit into the picture? Everywhere. Everything relies on it. Our first reading from the letter of James this morning says that every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. That is to say, everything good is a pure grace from God, and apart from him, we can do nothing. This is the same James that says that faith without works is dead. But how are we going to do those works if we don't rely entirely on grace? So our Lenten fast may impress our friends, but they certainly don't impress God. That's because they are first and foremost his gift to us. They are for our good, not his. God enables us to give up Netflix because he happens to love us way more than we could ever love watching Stranger Things. He gives us the courage to take ice-cold showers, or at least lukewarm ones. He gives us peace of mind to let go of our possessions and give to the poor. He fills us with perseverance and patience when we sit down for that holy hour that we promised. He does all this not for our health, or not for his health, but for ours. There was an early heresy in the church called Pelagianism. There's a guy named Pelagius, and so he has his own heresy named after him. That's something I'd rather not ever have to my name. But he taught that we can basically be holy on our own and essentially hold God hostage. Look, Lord, we did all this, so now you have to love us. Now you have to pay attention to us. Now you have to let us into heaven because we did all this awesome stuff. We instinctually know that this is a lie, that we can't make God love us any more than he already does. And yet, we can, in our daily life, become practical Pelagians. Even if we know we need God's grace, we end up relying on ourselves way more than we should. St. Augustine writes, lamenting his own wrestlings with grace through the course of his conversion, he writes this: why do you rely on yourself, only to find yourself unreliable? Cast yourself upon God, He will not draw back so that you fall. He will catch you and he will heal you. Even the disciples tried relying on themselves day in and day out. And we heard it in our gospel passage this morning. Jesus warns the apostles of the so-called leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. And the disciples' first response isn't, "Lord, we have no idea what you're talking about, but we know that we need your help. Preserve us. Sustain us. Give us your grace." Instead, they conclude among themselves. That's an interesting little feature, that little detail, that they're kind of muttering amongst themselves, like, "Oh, we didn't bring enough bread. That's what he's talking about." It strikes us as an odd conclusion when they say this kind of odd statement. But is it so different than our daily struggle? We say things like this to ourselves all the time. "I didn't do enough. I didn't love God enough. So now he's angry with me. That's why bad things are happening to me. I didn't bring enough bread," is kind of what we're saying. We didn't bring enough loaves of bread. But our Lord reminds us, and he reminds the disciples in our gospel, that he is the one that multiplied the loaves. You know, we say yes to grace. We give God like one little loaf, and then he multiplies it. He gives us all the grace that we could ever need. He is himself the living bread. When we say we didn't bring enough bread, we can look to Jesus right here on this altar, and he's more than enough for us. He is the true bread come down from heaven. So as we enter into this season of Lent together, we need to keep this central truth of our faith in mind, that every perfect gift is from the Father, that we rely entirely on the gift of grace, and that is the source of all of our strength.